Let me jump in here. Afternoon, everybody. Chad Harbin, Adam Carter with you. Let's go to Arizona. Here's a welcome and opening prayer from Dr. Don Wilson. He's the pastor of Christ Church of Valley in Peoria, Arizona, the funeral of the great Harmon Killebrew.
Harmon Killebrew. And we pray today as we gather together, this service would honor his life. It would give comfort to those of us who love him. And your name would be honored and glorified. So we commit all this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're honored to have you here today to remember and honor the life of Harmon Killebrew. And we pray that this service, as family and friends and different people share their thoughts and their remembrances, that it will be a blessing to each and every one of you. I will not be reading the names in the program. Follow along in the program if you would please, and that you will know the order of service and what's going to happen. We're going to begin this service by having a good friend, Charlie Pride, come and share a couple songs.
First of all, I'm glad I could make it. I met Harmon. I'm not sure whether it was at Cooperstown or won a ball game, but I loved him. Beat his tournament and a few times, and I'm probably tell you right now, I'm nervous. I played in front of a lot of thousands of people, but this, I know the last time I did this was my dad's funeral. And so I'm going to do, I'm trying to do what I was asked to do. I think Megan wanted to, first of all, I want to say again, I love this man. He was one, not only a wonderful baseball player, because I eat, sleep, breathe baseball. I wanted to be in the Hall of Fame where he was too. But Megan wanted, I believe it was Precious Lord, and I'll fly away, but I just want to tell you this because it happened. Someone asked Harmon who was his favorite country singer, and got back to me that he said it was me, and ended up that he did David Letterman this particular time, and I suppose I went there and did it with him, and the weather was so bad I couldn't fly in and do it, so they simulcast me from my bathroom. And they put a lot of montage of pictures, just like you might have seen when they had up there of Harmon. But when Craig called me, I just got back from doing a tour of Canada. I got back on May the 15th and the 17th. Craig calls me up and says, Charlie, Harmon passed away today. I said, what? And that's, he said he liked, the family would like you come and sing. I said, let me see what I can do. So I'm going to do this. We worked it out that I could fly in. I got to go back right at 2 o'clock and go to a wedding tomorrow. So, what are you making? Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, take my hand to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll
pity. Teardrops are falling down my boots. Many times I've been here, and many times I cried. We've been sitting there so long, high up above. I own a mountain of love. Night after night, I've been standing here alone, weeping my heart out to cold gray dawn, praying that you're lonely and you come here too. Hoping just by chance that I get a glimpse of you, trying hard to find you somewhere up. I own a mountain of love. Mountain of love, love, the mountain of love. You should be ashamed. Used to be a mountain of love, but you just changed your name. Way down below, there's a half a million people. Somewhere there's a church and a big tall steeple. Inside the church, there's an altar filled with flowers. Wedding bells are ringing and it should have been ours. That's why I'm so lonely, I dream on above. I own a mountain of love. The mountain of love, love, the mountain of love. You should be ashamed. Used to be a mountain of love, but you just changed your name. Wakey down below, so there's a half a million people. Somewhere there's a church and a big tall steeple. Inside the church, there's an altar filled with flowers. Red ring bells are ringing and it should have been ours. That's why I'm so lonely, I dreamed on above. High on a mountain of love. High on a mountain of love. High on a mountain to love. High on a mountain to love. High on a mountain of love. Yeah. Look up. That's everybody, because we got a reason. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are listening to live coverage of Harmon Killebrew's funeral. Number of twins attending it. The twins, the timing has worked out where the twins are opening up against the Diamondbacks tonight. So you have most, if not all, of the twins, players, and coaches at the ceremony itself. It's at Christ Church of Valley in Peoria, Arizona. Chad Hartman with you in WCCO. The first person we expect to hear from is a gentleman by the name of Ray Looney, Harmon's childhood friend.
I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through this. Harmon was my friend, and I've been thinking a lot the past few days about the complex meaning of those four simple words. Friendship is not like family. After you sort of just try to get along. It's not like romance, where you have that physical urge to help move the relationship forward. Friendship, really, is a minor miracle, I think, when one realizes that out of the thousands of people that we meet in a lifetime, only a few become our dearest friends. And only one or two of these come to be seen as a brother, which Harmon was to me. As most of you know, Harmon was born and raised in Payette, Idaho. And I first met Harmon when he was in the fourth grade, and I was in the fifth. We were good friends for 2 years, and then I moved away. I returned to Payette as a junior in high school with major trepidations about being accepted by my new classmates. As you might expect, Harmon was the first person to put me at ease by saying, "Welcome, Ray. We are so happy to have you back with us." This was the essence of Harmon. In his modest and caring way, he always tried to make people feel good about themselves. As you know, Harm was an outstanding athlete in football, basketball, and baseball. But his first love was always baseball. And like all great athletes, he had that special ability, as we say, to come through in the clutch. We were in a Junior Legion state tournament playing for the championship, when Harmon, who had just turned 16, made an error in the eighth inning on a routine ground ball. Our coach, who loved Harmon, still scolded him thoroughly and then told him that he was the one who needed to step up and win this game for the team. We were trailing at the time by one run in the ninth inning, and this is when I first realized that Harm had an incredible power with a baseball bat. He stepped to the plate with two of us on base and hit one of the longest balls ever seen in that ballpark off the center field wall, and we won the championship. That, too, was the essence of Harmon. After high school, I received a baseball scholarship to Stanford, and since Harmon was 1 year behind me, I encouraged Stanford to offer him a scholarship, and they wanted him. But during the summer, Harm decided to sign with the Washington Senators with a big bonus of $30,000. As Yogi Berra often said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. In retrospect, Harm and I always joked about what might have happened had he gone on to Stanford. But I actually think he made a pretty darn good decision. In 1959, I was stationed in Fort Lee, Virginia, in the Army, and Harmon invited me to come to some Washington Senator games. He made me feel so welcome with his family and the family of his good friend, Bob Allison. 2 years later, when I was a student at Columbia University Business School in New York, Harm invited me to several Twins-Yankees games. As many of you know, Harmon was not a big fan of New York. Even though I lived and worked there for many years and thus got to see Harm fairly often when he came to town, these two country boys would always commiserate about the hustle and bustle of the big city life. He also happened to mention many times that the cavernous canyons of Yankee Stadium were not particularly receptive to his game. In 1965, when the Twins were in the World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Harmon invited my wife, Mary Ann, and me to come to two games in Dodger Stadium. We loved watching the games, but we especially enjoyed the social time we were able to spend with Harm afterwards. Mary Ann still describes her impression this way. Harmon must be a great athlete because he is a terrific dancer, and he danced till 3 a.m. And then, while the rest of us were exhausted, he proceeded to hit a home run the next day. Another memorable connection occurred in 1984 when Harmon was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I know he had dreamed of this since childhood. And once again, Harmon extended a warm invitation to Mary Ann and me to join him and his family in Cooperstown. I was so proud of my lifelong friend on that special day. Harmon's stellar baseball career garnered him many honors, but he has worked equally hard as a fundraiser for many charities. In 1997, Harm and Nita created the Harmon Killebrew Foundation, which has raised millions of dollars through various events in many locations. Harmon always quoted his mother as saying, "We are here to help each other. What other reason could there be?" In 2000, I organized a 10-day golf tour of Scotland with my brother Larry Harmon and another high school classmate and payout of Jim Davis. Harm had been saying for several years, "Ray, we need to do this." But knowing Harm as I did, I was not sure that he could actually break away from his schedule to join us. Then, just 6 months before we were to leave, he told me he was going to have both his knees replaced. And even though he had to walk all 9 golf courses in Scotland, Harm finished every day and never complained. We had great fun there, celebrating our accomplishments, or the lack thereof, with a good stiff scotch each evening, while listening to the elderly local experts expound on the fine points of the game. It was like old times, reliving our high school days. And we've all laughed for years at the sage advice of Harm's caddy at Old St. Andrews. after Harm had just missed his first putt. Mr. Killebrew, your putting stroke looks pretty good, but I think you need a wee bit of improvement in both your speed and direction. In 2008, Harmon was invited along with other celebrities to go to Scotland for a golf outing by his friend Jim Hayes of Minneapolis. Given the opportunity to bring a friend along, Harm asked me, and of course I jumped at the chance. Jim was probably disappointed that Harm's friend was not a celebrity, but for me, it was a marvelous journey of hospitality, camaraderie, storytelling, and of course, some golf. During some quiet times there, Harm and I shared thoughts about our fathers, specific forks in our roads, and why we have made various decisions at crucial points in our lives. How I treasure that special week of friendship. A couple years ago, Harm and Nita joined us on a trip to Italy, the beautiful Lake Como region, Tuscany, and Rome. And during our 2 weeks in Tuscan Villa with four other couples, I learned something I didn't know about Harmon. We would often find him sweeping or vacuuming or washing dishes. What a neatnik. And what a challenging example for the rest of us men. Harm also became a big fan of Italian food. He particularly liked the pistachio gelato. And Harm and Nita's Scottsdale home is now a repository of Italian art. And we loved reminiscing about that trip while visiting them recently. After Harmon entered hospice, I found this message from a blogger on CNN, which captures, I think, the admiration that fans have had for him over the country. Dear Mr. Killebrew, I address you accordingly because you have always had my greatest respect. You were an athlete who earned that right from everyone, who appreciated the way you played the game. You set forth a marvelous example for the youth to emulate. You carried yourself with dignity, respect, and pride. I know, for I was one that recognized this all the way from the Bronx, New York. Thank you for being the person you are and for all that you shared with us kids. We were very fortunate. The humorist Art Buchwald wrote that the big question about dying is not where we are going, but what we were doing here in the first place. I think Harmon always knew what he was doing here. He found his career passion early. He loved his family deeply. He had happiness and purpose. He enjoyed his life. He relished all kinds of competition, especially baseball, at which he excelled. But he was always a cooperator as well as a competitor. He was truly a people person. He did the best he could in every area of life, and he accomplished so very much. Despite those accomplishments, however, he never took himself too seriously, and he always had a great sense of humor. He would have appreciated Art Buchwald's take on life's final chapter. Dying is not hard. Getting paid by Medicare is. I would like to just close with some Judaic wisdom about how we will remember this strong, kind, warm, modest, gentle, and very extraordinary man. In the rising of the sun and its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds and the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the rustling of the leaves and the beauty of autumn, we remember them. And when we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. And so long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now part of us as we remember them.
Yeah.
You are listening to live coverage of Harmon Killebrew's funeral from Peoria, Arizona. Chad Hartman with you. The next speaker will be Harmon Killebrew's grandson, Eric.
About 2 weeks ago, I received an envelope in the mail from Papa Anita. As I opened the piece of mail, I saw that it was a dated picture of Papa and I. Right away, I remembered the exact place and time that the picture was taken. I had just turned 12, and it was my trip for the Harmon and grandson week at the Hall of Fame. The front of the picture read, "To Eric, my grandson and pal, remember all the good times. Love, Papa." Signed, Harmon Killebrew. These words give a great summary of the life of Harmon Killebrew. They were filled with good times. Time spent crushing the baseball, 573 to be exact. Time spent with grandchildren, hosting Camp Papa Nani, or teaching life lessons, like to never leave the milk in your cereal after you've finished eating. Time spent with friends like Mickey, Brooks, Rod, Tony. Time spent with his loving wife. Countless hours spent staying late to sign for loyal fans, or even with players to help them work on their signature. Time spent raising money for hospice, which in the last days of his life, he himself would look towards. Each day of Harmon's life was filled with good times, and I, like most in this room, are blessed to have been a part of these. One French politician said, "To become truly great, one has to stand with people, not above them." The Killer, a title somewhat ironic for his meek temperament, never once stood above anyone. A writer for the USA Today said, "Killebrew is baseball's ultimate gentleman." And he added, "He has the ego of a bat boy." It was just four of us one summer when we made a trip to the Oregon coast to play golf. 3 days, five rounds of golf, and lots of great walks. By the third day, Harmon's knees were somewhat sore from all the walking, and he asked the starter if it might be possible to get a cart for the fifth and final round. As the starter looked at him, he gave a response. He said, "I'm sorry, sir. We only have a select group of carts here, and they're not available for you. You've walked the first four rounds, and you'll have to walk the last." At this point, we were all shocked. Harmon Killebrew, at 72, was being told, "No cart." For most of us at this point, we might have said something like, "Listen, I'm Harmon Killebrew. I've touched all four bases 573 times. I've walked from home to first over 1,500 because people were scared to pitch with me. I think you can get me a cart." But that wasn't his response. With his bat boy ego and gentle voice, he responded, "Okay, thank you." With pain in every step, he walked the final 18 with no complaints. Sometimes I think of what life would be if we were all possessed greater humility, if we were all like Harmon Killebrew. Harmon's life was filled with marvelous experiences, most that some could only dream of. But for him, it was the simple things in life that mattered. He was just a boy from Idaho, and to everybody, he was just a friend. In an article early this week, one Detroit blogger said, "My favorite story about Harmon Killebrew was one he told before the All-Star game in 2008. He's one of only four right-handed hitters ever credited with hitting the ball over the left field roof at Target Stadium. When asked about it, Harmon said, "The truth was, yes, I hit the ball over the roof, but it landed in the last gutter because a guard that evening found it and gave it back to me." The truth was, the ball came to rest in the gutter and not in the parking lot. Harmon said, "The funny thing, though, that is when I got back, I had calls in my hotel, several from fans offering to sell back the ball that they had found in the parking lot." Despite knowing they were phony calls, Harmon returned every single one of them, thanking them for their support and telling them they can keep the ball. Harmon's humility reminds me of that of the Savior. It is through the humility and love that the Savior willingly gave his life that we may all live again. We can't fully appreciate joyful reunions later without tearful separations now. The only way to take sorrow out of death is to take love out of life. Although we are left now with just memories and all good times, I know the Lord has prepared a way for us to be together again. It is an honor to have been a part of Harmon's life and to be among many of his pals. The example that he has been in my life will continue to shape who I am. As we mourn together this day, I pray that we may do so with a knowledge of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my humble prayer that we may remember Harmon's love and that of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we remember all the good times we had with Harmon and look forward to those when we shall be with him and our Savior again.
Before we hear the next speaker, who we expect to be Craig Baer, we'll remind you this is the Harmon Killebrew funeral coverage from Arizona. We also had another Minnesota athlete pass away last week, and we have the medical examiner report on Derek Bugard. Death ruled accident due to mixing alcohol and oxycodone. More on that at the top of the hour. The next speaker is Craig Baer, Harmon Killebrew's son-in-law.
Harmon would utter them frequently. Need has given me the opportunity, along with Harmon, to put some words together that he wanted to share to punctuate his philosophy on life. And it's not so difficult to state these things because we've seen him live these things throughout his life, each of us here. When Harmon was in his last day, his pain level was so great. I was holding him and crying. This is Nita. Knowing that I was very shortly going to have to let him go. He was so calm and so at peace. I knew he was ready. He then kissed my forehead and whispered, "Remember what Mikey said." I immediately knew what he meant. Some 20 years ago, when Harmon was suffering from a different ailment, we had an opportunity to spend some time with my niece and her three small children. Three-year-old Mikey, so sweet and usually very talkative, Harmon noticed that he was very, very quiet as he sat in the back seat. Harmon was in the front, and as in his "I'm going to relate to a three-year-old" voice said, "What are you thinking so deeply about, Mikey?" Mikey responded without hesitation, "I'm thinking about Jesus on the cross and how sad it must have made his mother to see him suffering. To see someone you love suffer is difficult to bear. Christ perfectly endured his suffering for us. I would say that Harmon did as well." In Harmon's final days, he let those close to him know that his suffering wasn't because he or we somehow deserved it. It was, in fact, God's way of allowing us to experience and more fully understand the greatest sacrifice of all. Our understanding of Christ's life, teachings, and sacrifice becomes real as we relate to someone we love and hold so dear. 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Yes, Harmon, you certainly have. That simplicity. Harmon's philosophy is so simple, very clear. And he wanted to make it clear to us. It goes like this: always give more than you take. Always maintain an even calmness that you might calm others. Truly know that you are loved beyond measure and go out and share that love. Find a place of peace with your partner. Experience daily love with your family. Enjoy your friends often. Know your neighbors. And especially, and this one was interesting to me, and I experienced it myself personally, go out of your way to do the same to the people new in your life. In Harmon's world, there were no strangers. Harmon also believed that because our relationship with God is deeply eternal and is much too big and beautiful to describe in mere words, One must then express them outwardly. Not so much in buildings or in structures. To be true and real, we must live our faith. This relationship with God is expressed and measured in how you live your life amongst others. Harmon continues. It's your reaction to the guy who cuts you off in traffic. It's whether you smile at the lady who rams her grocery cart into yours. It's how you speak to a child who asks for an autograph, or to the sports fan that interrupts your dinner to tell you his favorite story about you. It's about treating others with the same respect and dignity you'd like shown to yourself. In Harmon's world, there are no insignificant people. Everyone is special. Each person has greatness. It's up to us, you and me, to help reveal that special quality that will help make them great. Harmon said, I've been blessed to have a podium to do this in a public way, but it's always been something I've tried very hard to do, regardless of my success as a baseball player. And from his loving mother, some advice. When I ever behaved in a less than dignified manner, my mother would simply say, even a dog or a cat can do that. And to me, even as just a 5-year-old boy, I heard her say, never forget who you are or where you came from. We are all children of the same father. We all deserve love. And I've tried to leave each place I've been with more than I've taken. And now my words, no one can doubt the validity of these words. He lived them. We all watched him do it. We are all the recipients of his acts of love and kindness. I personally have been blessed to witness and share in a very sacred experience. I have watched an incredible man preparing himself and his family for his departure from this life. We have seen his loving wife tenderly and with grace and dignity attending to this preparation and to every detail of his care. I felt the strength and power of the inseparable connection between Harmon and Nita, their children and families and dear friends. As I would visit, having just been in the room with Harmon, he turned the tables each time. I became the one walking away with renewed comfort and strength. I became the beneficiary of Harmon's great love. He filled me with peace, hope, faith, and joy. Even in his pain and discomfort, Harmon's only concern was for the comfort and well-being of those around him. As Christ's time to leave his earthly life drew near, the apostles, uneasy and unsure, asked, how can we continue, Lord, in your absence? Reassuring, Christ tenderly responded, be of good cheer. My peace I leave with you. Now go and do the things that you have seen me do. With Christ no longer among them, the apostles were left to act and to do and to become like him, to live what Christ has shown them. Harmon, we, your wife, your sons and daughters, your family, your friends, also feel just a little unsure in your absence. How can we continue without you? The answer Harmon has left in a lifetime of example. Let's do for others what Harmon has done for us. He would say, in answer to the question, just go and do what you've seen me do. And as you do, I can be with you always. We can do that. We will do that. And your legacy will live on through each of us. Thank you, Harmon. We love you.
Once again, you're listening to WCCO Radio, continuing coverage of Harmon Killebrew's funeral in Peoria, Arizona. Pretty much everyone in the Twins party in attendance. The next speaker you will hear is Shawn Bair, the daughter of Harmon Killebrew.
I'm not going to read a poem. It's in the insert in your program. I wanted to talk to my dad for a few minutes, and just a few, because I don't think I can do it for very long. But I've heard him speak many times, and he's a wonderful speaker. And most of his speaking engagements started with a story. And so I have a story for you today. Not long after he was diagnosed with cancer, Kathy and I decided we should go visit him. And so we drove all day from Utah to come see him in the hospital. And we finally arrived after a long day of worrying about him. And so finally arrived and got into the parking lot of the hospital, and he kept calling us, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he directed us through the maze of the hospital. We finally made it to his room, opened up the door, and there he was, attached to all sorts of tubes and dragging his IV pole alongside him, standing beside his bed, doing what the grandkids call the papa dance. He does love to dance. And most of you don't know what the papa dance is, but if you ask any of the family members after this service, they'll be able to tell you. He was just so concerned about... We came to cheer him up, and he cheered us up. He's just concerned about everyone else and wanted everyone else to be okay. Even up to the very end, he was concerned about everyone else, wanted everyone else to be all right. Kathy said to him a few days ago, "Dad, you've set the bar really high for the rest of us." He endured his pain with no complaint. We never heard him complain. He just didn't want anyone to worry about him. He wanted everybody else to be okay, and that's how he is. Dad, you're a man full of love, a man who felt the reason for being here was to love and to help those around you, and you did that. You had a talent for making everyone feel that they are special. You've touched so many lives and are loved by so many. I feel it a privilege to call you Dad, and I'll miss you greatly. But I'll remember the good times, and I'll keep those memories in my heart. You're the best of the best, and I love you, and I'll see you later. And I hope that there's a patio to hose where you are and floors to vacuum. I'll see you later. I'm not going to say goodbye. I'll see you later, because I will see you later. And I know that you're helping me today to do this. Otherwise, I couldn't have stood up here and spoken to you. Thank you so much for all being here.
Touching words, to say the least, that the daughter of Harmon Killebrew, Shawn Bair. Once again, WCCO Radio, continuing coverage of Harmon Killebrew's funeral. The timing has worked out where the twins in attendance. We are expecting this next speaker to be Cam Killebrew, Harmon's son. We're deferring here to television. Once we know who this is, in fact, it's Kelly McDyer, a Harmon Killebrew family friend. So again, Kelly McDyer is our next speaker honoring Harmon.
Where we of lesser athletic abilities at least had a fighting chance against him. That good-for-nothing band of land between the seashore and the arable land that the Scots call Lynx is mottled with heather and whin under an ever-present near gale that the locals call a wee breeze. Rain, sometimes so cold and raw, it turns your skin a bluish hue. We competed every day. On this wicked wasteland, sometime in antiquity, no one knows quite when, the locals contrived a game, partly to challenge their competitive spirits, mostly to take their minds off their miserable surroundings. The game evolved as the decades passed. They called it golf, and the initiates called it Scotland's revenge. Every day, Harmon would join us on what is often called a good walk spoiled. Killer loved the game and the park in which it was played. Playing against other senior citizens of his vintage, he had an advantage. He still had great bat speed and could hit the long ball, drawing the applause of an admiring opponent or of an even more appreciative partner. He was still the killer. He was a delight to be with, a total gentleman, calm, and unlike some of us, he never threw his clubs. Golf is a game where the player is his own referee. This was a game well suited to Harmon. He could not cheat. He could not criticize. After the competition of the day, there was time to relax and recall the most memorable shots of the day and remember the days of yesteryear and retell the stories that had grown better and better and better over the years. These memories we carry forever. This was the time to get to know Harmon, the man. It was time well spent. He was a pleasure to know, a treasure to play with or against, and it was a privilege to call Harmon Killebrew a friend. This was from Neil Armstrong, Jim Hayes, and all of his friends at St. Andrews.
Chad Harmon with you on WCCO Radio. You are listening to continuing coverage of Harmon Killebrew's funeral in Peoria, Arizona. You've heard a number of speakers so far. The final speaker will be Burt Blylevin, but we're going to hear a musical performance right now. The legendary Charlie Pride was a part of it earlier. More music now from the Killebrew funeral in Peoria, Arizona.
I'm familiar with that song. I'm afraid I'm not a talented enough vocalist to do the song justice, so I arranged it for an instrumental version on guitar.
This is Harmon's grandson, Todd Killebrew, who you heard getting ready for his performance now, playing in honor of his grandfather, passed away earlier this week, the Hall of Famer, Harmon Killebrew. The final speaker is expected to be a man we are all very familiar with, Bert Blyleven. And Bert, you heard with us on the day that Harmon passed away. We are expecting Bert to step up right now, but in fact it's going to be Cam Killebrew, Harmon's son, and then we will get to Bert. So here's Cam Killebrew, Harmon's son.
Hold myself together long enough to stand up here and talk, but I do have a couple things I would like to share with you, and on behalf of the family, I would definitely like to thank a few people. In the last few months, there's been such a tremendous outpouring of love and prayers, not only the people that are here today, but all across the country, and I know he felt that as well as our family, and I want to thank all those people for that love and prayers, and ongoing as well. And we've certainly all felt that. I know he did, commented on it many times, and I don't think he really realized how much he was loved, because that was the kind of man he was. He was so humble. I think he got a lot of things, but I'm not sure he really got that. And it was just beautiful. And I also like to thank the twins. Guardian Dave, thank you for having people here today. He loved you guys. He loved the twins. Many of you guys, you know who you are. He had a special relationship with, and thank you for coming today and being a part of this day. And speaking for the family, I know there's several lessons that he taught us, and one of the things he taught me was respect. He was very big on respect, and even for umpires, believe it or not. I remember he came to a high school game of mine, and you know, I had a lot of my dad in me, but I also had a little bit of the other side of my family, which was a little bit more intense. I got called out on a third strike one time, and it was clearly not a strike. And I let the umpire know that, and in his soft, gentle way, he motioned me over after I walked off the field, and he said, you won't be doing that anymore. And I said, you know what, you're right. And I never did, and I never saw him do it. And that was just the kind of man he was. He held everybody in respect. I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time at the old Met growing up. And I remember a few times after the game when we'd be anxious to leave after the game. We wanted to get home, and we'd walk out of the ballpark, and as there often was, there was a throng of people, and they all wanted to be close to him, and of course they all wanted autographs, and he would stop, and I'd be going, Dad, come on, let's go. And he'd say, you know, I have to do this. And afterwards we'd be riding home, and he looked at me and say, you know, there might have been people there that came all the way from North Dakota or Montana or Iowa to see me play today. It might be the only time they come and the only time that they have an opportunity to get that autograph. And he took the time to do that. And he taught me that to respect everyone. I know people will tell you it with the twins, it didn't matter if you were the president of the ball club or you were the men that were sweeping the tunnels after the game. He knew everybody by name, and he treated them all with respect. And I think it's for that reason he's so well loved. And it's been hard for me for the last few days to look at some of the stories. I know there's a lot of them out there, and at some time I'll have an opportunity to cherish those and sit down and read them. But I've not been able to do that the last few days. But I know there's been such a tremendous number of stories in that regard of people that were touched by him, and it's very wonderful for our family. And I've been asked several times in the last few days what his legacy will be, and at first I thought that's a very difficult question to answer, because there's so many things, and his career is well documented. You know, we all know he hit 573 home runs and all the other things that he did, but that's not what I think he'll be noted for. It's you people in the room, his friends, and those people that are not here today that wanted to be here. Because everywhere he went, he made friends. And people considered him a friend even if they briefly met him. I've run into people all over the country that come up and said, I met your father at an event and went up and shook hands, and it was just, you know, I consider him a friend. And he was that way. He made friends easily. And I think that's what he'll be remembered for. And I just want to say that it's an honor to be his son, you know. And I know it was an honor for everybody else as members of his family to be a member of his family. And we're saying goodbye for right now, for a short time. We know that we'll see him again. And we just want him to know that, like he always told us, we'll keep swinging. And we'll fight the good fight here, and we'll never forget him. And hope to be joined with him again soon. Thank you.
We expect now Burt Belisle 11 to step in. Chad Hartman with you, WCCO Radio's continuing coverage of the funeral of Harmon Killebrew in Peoria, Arizona. Yes, the Twins are in attendance. The Twins, ironically enough, tonight beginning a three-game series interleague play against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Here is Burt.
Condolences for the loss of your husband, your father, grandfather, and even great-grandfather. We're all here today with heavy hearts. Today is a day we mourn the passing of Harmon Clayton Killebrew. It's also a day to celebrate the man that meant so much to all of us. You know, it's funny that we came from Oakland. Prior to that, we came to Seattle, from Seattle, and had a chance to talk to Harmon on Monday. And, you know, Harmon, of course, was in a lot of pain, and I could hear that over the phone, but you know what he was concerned about? Twins were 0-8. Come on, guys, let's, you know, Bert, tell the guys to start winning some ball games. All right, well, they didn't win that night. Twins were 0-9. Harmon passed away on Tuesday. It was Liriano against Hernandez that night, so you knew it was going to be a low-scoring game. Guess what the score was? Twins won 2-1. My California math tells me that's 3. How many hits did the Twins have? 3. How many did Seattle have? 3. Pretty good tribute to Harmon. Twins won. You know, they've won how many now? They've won 3 straight. And here I am standing here today. On behalf of the Minnesota Twins organization, on behalf of the Hall of Fame, on behalf of all baseball fans in general, we mourn Harmon. We know what he stands for. We know what he stood for. I first met Harmon in 1970. I was an 18-year-old snotty-nosed kid out of high school that got invited to spring training with the Minnesota Twins. And I remember I was so nervous walking into the clubhouse in Orlando at Tinker Field. And, of course, you know, I'm a rookie. I'm not even on the 40-man roster. And I take my baseball bag and I put it in a locker they assigned me. I think my number was like 76 or something like that, and I starting to unpack my bag, and all of a sudden I feel this hand on my left shoulder, and I turn around, and of course I knew who Harmon Killebrew was. I knew he was the MVP in the American League in 1969, and I stood up, and he said, son, he said, Harmon Killebrew. I said, yes, sir. He said, welcome to the ball club. I said, thank you, Mr. Killebrew. And he just smiled at me and he said, no, call me Harmon. Call me Harmon. Well, later, I was out in the field shagging, and Harmon hit the cages. And whoever was throwing batting practice, Harmon, it seemed like every other ball left the ballpark. And I realized at that time that I was watching greatness hard at work, and that was Harmon Killebrew. Harmon wasn't a rah-rah type of guy, you know, in the clubhouse. He let his bat do his talking, and boy, did he ever. Playing on the same team with Harmon for 5 seasons, I learned early on that he just wasn't more than just a home run hitter. Harmon was a leader, but he was also one of the kindest men I ever met. Harmon became a Baseball Hall of Famer in 1984. But I think all of us know that no Harmon, that he was a Hall of Famer in life long before that. Harmon loved everybody. Well, maybe not the guy that just struck him out, but he did love everybody. He treated everybody the same. Harmon loved baseball, and fans loved him back. Why? Because everybody who met him, they knew they were meeting a man that cared. Harmon was a legend. He left his legacy. You know, somebody asked me one time, what's a legacy? What do you consider a legacy? Well, to me, his legacy is something that you leave behind when you're gone. Like I think, wrote this down about Harmon, okay? Legacy. Let's see if Harmon left a legacy. Being a good husband, Harmon was that. Being a great father, Harmon was that. Being a great friend, I think Harmon was that to everybody in here. In baseball, being a great teammate, Harmon was that. Caring about others, yeah, Harmon did that. And being a great man, Harmon was that. And boy, was he ever. Now, to me, that's a legacy. We should all try to live our lives like Harmon did. We should all leave here today knowing that Harmon Killebrew touched our lives. And before I close, I think Harmon would like this. Harmon hit 573 home runs. And anybody that's been out on that playing field, whether it be Little League, whatever sport it is, and you're out there and you hear that roar of the crowd. Well, like I said, Harmon hit 573 home runs. Can everybody please stand up? All right, Harmon Killebrew just hit his 574th home run. And I want to hear the roar of the crowd. And he wants to hear the roar of the crowd. Please. Thank you. I think, I know Harmon hears that. You know, when Twins great radio announcer John Gordon calls a Twins home run, he says, touch them all. Well, Mr. Killebrew, you touched us all.
That was the final speaker at Harmon's funeral in Peoria, Arizona, Christchurch Valley. Number of speakers: Ray Looney, Eric Wetham, his grandson, Craig Bear, son-in-law, Sean Bear, daughter, Cam Killebrew, Todd Killebrew, and Burp Lyle. You're wondering, Paul Bear, some of the legends on hand: Rod Carew, Paul Molitor, Tony Oliva, Frank Willisie, his former teammate, manager, present Twins players Michael Kadire, Justin Morneau, Joe Nathan, and Twins manager Ron Gardenhire, all to honor a Hall of Famer, Harmon Killebrew. We will have continuing coverage all throughout the afternoon, but right now let's turn it over to Adam Carter for a look at the local headlines.
Thanks very much, Chad. Mostly cloudy, 67 degrees in the Twin Cities. News Radio 830 WCCO's top story is Twins legend Harmon Killebrew being remembered by hundreds of family, friends, teammates, and fans at a funeral in Peoria, Arizona this afternoon. WCCO's Samantha Smith has more.
The ceremony included speeches from a variety of loved ones, including his grandson, Eric Wetham.
Harmon's life was filled with marvelous experiences, most that some could only dream of. But for him, it was the simple things in life that mattered. He was just a boy from Idaho, and to everybody, he was just a friend.
In addition to the kind words, Harmon's friend Charlie Pride was also there to speak and perform.
And I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
A memorial service will be held Thursday at 7 p.m. at Target Field. Samantha Smith, WCCO.